Our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews is set in the context of the priesthood, especially the high priesthood of the Old Testament. This was intimately connected with service at the temple. You see, to be a priest in the Old Covenant was centered on Jerusalem and the temple. It wasn't like today where we have little parishes everywhere and there's a priest that's in charge of every parish. You would have had a rabbi in charge of a parish like this, but priests had a specific job. The priest served at the temple in Jerusalem, and the job of the priest were to offer sacrifice. They would be constantly in the temple offering sacrifice of animals, or going inside the temple offering a sacrifice of incense on the altar there. And once a year, only once in fact, the high priest, the chief priest, got to go all the way to the very inner chamber of the temple known as the Holy of Holies and offer a sacrifice. It's interesting to note the way the temple is laid out. There's a building, but then there are kind of courts or fenced off areas around the temple. And depending on what your job was or what your station was, you would be allowed further in. There was the court of the Gentiles, the people that weren't Jewish, and of course they had to stay completely out. And there was the court of the women. And then the priest got to go into the spot to offer sacrifices in front of the temple. And we see that, especially around the time of the birth of John the Baptist, his father Zechariah is chosen to go in the temple building itself and offer incense. So it was chosen by lot which priest would get to go in to do that. But at the far end of the actual building of the temple was a special area that had a large veil across it where, at least for some of the history of the Jews, the Ark of the Covenant, the box that they carried around with the Ten Commandments and the manna and the staff, that was behind the veil. And there was a special kind of little area where you would offer sacrifice of the blood of an animal. And the high priest alone could go behind the veil to offer that sacrifice once a year on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which the Jews continue to keep in their calendar to this day, even though there is no temple. It's very interesting. Only the high priest could go in there. And in fact, because no one else could go in the Holy of Holies, they actually tied a rope around the high priest when he went in for fear that if something would happen, if he would go into ecstasy or be struck dead or something, they wouldn't be able to go in and get him out. So they tied a rope around the high priest so that if anything happened, they could yank him out because nobody else could go in the Holy of Holies. So we see this kind of hierarchical structuredness. And a lot of these offerings, as we read in the letter to the Hebrews describing today, were offerings of atonement, offerings for forgiveness of sins. The reading today from Hebrews mentions especially the high priest, the one that gets to go all the way into the Holy of Holies and make the offering on the Day of Atonement. Interesting thing, though, the high priest was himself imperfect, so he needed to first offer a sacrifice for his own sins before he could then go offer a sacrifice on behalf of the people. That's what the letter to the Hebrews is talking about today. That the high priest is himself weak. He needs atonement for sins. So first he would offer a sacrifice for himself. Then he would go into the Holy of Holies and offer a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins of everybody else. And famously on the day of Yom Kippur then, the high priest would take a goat. And this goat they wouldn't kill. He would actually speak the sins of all the people onto the goat, and place all the sins of the people on the goat. And then an attendant was to take the goat and lead it far off into the wilderness, where it would then be driven from the city and it would die in the wilderness. And the person would come back and have to cleanse themselves. This is the origin of the term scapegoat. Literally, the sins of the people were put on the goat, and the goat was driven off into the wilderness where it would die, and the sins of the people would be taken away. We see lots of these kind of ritualistic ways of getting rid of sin in the Old Testament. A lot of times people think that, well, that was the Old Testament, and thank goodness Jesus came, and now everything's different because there's the New Testament. I always think that would have been quite a waste, that God would have spent thousands of years preparing his people for the coming of the Messiah, only to have the Messiah come and say, now forget all about that. We're doing something new. That's not what God does at all. Rather, all those sacrifices that he commanded be offered, the temple itself, everything of the old covenant, it doesn't go away with the coming of Jesus. Rather, Jesus takes the lessons that have been learned and drilled into the people, and he perfects them. He shows what they're really all about. For thousands of years, God drilled into his people, if you sin, there must be a reconciliation. There must be sacrifice offered. Sin causes death, and that's what the killing of all these animals is about. It's to remind us that sin has consequences. If you sin, well, rather than you be put to death for your sin, this animal will take your place. Now, just as the high priest is imperfect, we see the trouble with this animal sacrifice because, after all, what actual power does the death of an animal have to take away your sin? It seems itself somewhat imperfect. So in the Old Testament, we're dealing with an imperfect priest who offers an imperfect sacrifice for sin, and yet this was the state of affairs. Why does God do that? Well, because it's looking forward to the day, described in our letter to the Hebrews today, in which all this sacrifice would be perfected, and the imperfect priest offering the imperfect sacrifice would be done away with when the perfect priest comes who offers a perfect sacrifice. And this is, of course, Jesus. Interestingly, Jesus is the perfect priest. He himself has no sin. So as the letter of the Hebrews tells us today, he has no need to offer sacrifice first for himself, then for everyone else. He is the perfect priest. But perhaps the biggest twist of all in this is that the sacrifice he offers is perfect. He offers not an imperfect lamb, but he offers the Lamb of God, his very self. That's why in the Mass, these are not throwaway lines when we're saying Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're talking about Jesus. He is the sacrifice. All those lambs that died over and over for sin in the Old Covenant, they foreshadow the perfect Lamb, Jesus, the one who is truly without spot or blemish, who gives his life in atonement, not just for the sins of the last year, like on the day of Yom Kippur, but atonement for the sins of every person who's ever lived, everyone living now, and everyone who ever will live. Jesus' sacrifice is perfect and therefore infinite, offered as the debt for all of our sins that would ever be committed. This is the great context then of the letter to the Hebrews. And the people at the time would have understood this. They'd be like, I get it. Now we have a perfect priest. And now we have a perfect sacrifice. Just as the New Testament didn't put an end to the dealings of the Old Testament, so the one death of Jesus, while it put an end to constantly needing a better sacrifice, it did not put an end to the need to make atonement for sins, to make sacrifice for sins. The difference is now for us, we don't have to keep finding new goats and imperfect sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice is perfect and is infinite. But if Jesus' death on the cross 2,000 years ago paid the debt for our sins, the question then is, when we sin today, concretely in our lives, how do we have the blood of the Lamb sacrificed 2,000 years ago applied to us? The Jews knew, okay, I sinned, I go to the temple, I offer a lamb for my sins. What do? We have a perfect sacrifice, but how do we tap into that power, as it were? Well, that's what we do at the Mass. You might have heard the Mass referred to as the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's not that Jesus is sacrificed again. As I said, his sacrifice is perfect. It happens once and it works for eternity. But that one sacrifice of Jesus, his death on the cross 2,000 years ago, through the mystery of the sacrament of the Eucharist, is made present again, right here. It's as if we were there on Good Friday when the Lamb of God is sacrificed for our sins. because it is infinite, it is outside time, and through a way known to God, that one sacrifice is about to be made present on our altar, just as the lambs were offered on the altar in the temple in Jerusalem. We see now the great meaning of the Mass. Far from being just a communal gathering where we come to join with our friends and say hi and see how the week has gone, and even beyond the fact to just know that Jesus is here, we see why Jesus is here in the Eucharist. He's here because, as it says in our readings, he knows our weaknesses. He knows our need for forgiveness. He knows that we are weighed down with sin and we can't be free of it ourselves. So what do? We need a lamb to offer in atonement. And we have one. He himself is the Lamb of God made present on our altar, who is then offered through the hands of the new covenant priest to the Father. What an amazing thing takes place on our altar, in our church tonight and every day. I pray that whatever burden you bring tonight, whatever sin it is, whatever difficulties, for thousands of years God has told us what to do. Lay down that burden on the altar, give it over in sacrifice. The Lamb of God is offered to take away that burden. We have such a great high priest who knows our weaknesses, who gave his life for us. He asks now that we come, that we present our sacrifice, that we join it with the sacrifice offered by the priest, as we are in the new temple, the new Holy of Holies that none of the Jews could enter. We enter. We behold the Holy of Holies, and there we behold, as it shows in the book of Revelation, the Lamb standing as slain, offering his life in atonement for our sins. May we be grateful for this amazing gift, the holy sacrifice of the Mass.